3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Riverside at 91.7. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're always delighted to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day as we face the issues. I pray that you'll do that today. We're on the very verge of experiencing another major hurricane for the state of Florida. This will be the second one in the month, within a month. And understand there's another one on the way. I am prayerful that you are safe, that you'll stay safe. If you have been told to evacuate, I pray that you will do that which you recognize is needful and necessary for your own safety and security. I was amazed in watching some of the late news last evening and early this morning, showing the scenes from last night, Interstate 75, I-4, and 95, like parking lots, with hundreds and hundreds and thousands upon thousands of automobiles, with people getting out of the eye of the storm and getting away from the storm. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about today, facing the storm. Facing the storm. What have we seen recently? What are we expecting in the next 24 hours, storm-wise? What caused it? Where are we? What should the government do? What are they doing? What should we do? But more importantly, ladies and gentlemen, we want to talk about today, what does the Bible say? What we see taking place, is that recorded any place in the Scripture? Is this something that's just a hypothetical happenstance that is taking place? Or has God already told us that these things would take place in the last of the last days? That's where we're going today. And lest I forget it, let me remind you that telephone was 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. That telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said this: if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, the Lord Jesus himself said, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, the Bible records these words: thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, Psalms 117, verse 2 reminds us that the truth of the Lord endures forever. So regardless of what you're told, regardless of what the socialist Marxist media tells us, regardless of what the politicians on either side of the aisle may say, we need to go back to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God to find truth. It is the only source of truth. It was the secularist George Orwell that made a powerful statement. George Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We need to recognize that is true today. You stand for truth, you tell the truth, and you're going to have those that will be repulsed, rebellious, and will stand against you because you're telling the truth. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warned America's decline is linked to the death of the truth. In part, this is what DeMint said: what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. Ladies and gentlemen, truth matters. I dwell on that each and every day in my monologue to set the stage for where we're going. Today, according to the latest survey, we find that this headline, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. The article goes on to tell about 55% of the millennials say that there's no absolute truth, and that I quote, each person determines their own version of truth. I go back to the fundamental foundation that truth matters. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth. Listen to the truth. Learn the truth. Love the truth. Tell the truth. Live the truth and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast. And Jan Hus made that statement and he lived it. In his dying breath, while being burned at the stake, Jan Hus screamed out, truth shall prevail. In part, we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we cannot bifurcate truth. You take a half-truth, it's a whole lie. We need to understand today that one of the major issues we're dealing with, whether it be in the halls of Congress, Democrat or Republican, Oval Office, state representatives, the House of Leadership in Tallahassee, or the local here in our own city. We need to recognize there are a number of people among us that want to bifurcate truth. We have those today talking about Hurricane Helene, talking about the upcoming Hurricane Milton, and they're talking about different things, and each one perhaps would have a partial truth. We need to be able to read through that. And the way we understand truth, ladies and gentlemen, is going back to the source book, the original truth. That's the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, also has that staff that can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. Atop that flagpole is Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. The base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. In just a moment, after a brief word, I'm going to introduce our first guest, our caller, ladies and gentlemen, and answer the questions and follow up with the dialogue and discussion. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Florida's now facing a second major hurricane. They're calling the hurricane Milton. With Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, ladies and gentlemen, still reeling from Helene, the hurricane that just less or than about 2 weeks ago, multitudes are still homeless, without jobs. That are still in a home, ladies and gentlemen, have no water, no power. And may I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, their homes are in desperate condition, and yet we find those crews that are attempting to get through the roadways, the roadblocks, and the trees that have fallen, still trying to get to the homes to attempt to help those that cannot help themselves. Yet we find, ladies and gentlemen, there's major influences that's impacting not only the hurricane just a couple of weeks ago, but will be impacting the one that's coming up in the next 24 hours. And we have those in Georgia and Florida. We have those in South Carolina, North Carolina, and Tennessee, and South Florida, and Central Florida, and the West Coast of Florida that's still reeling from the previous hurricane. I'm looking at a headline, massive article, I'll read two or three brief paragraphs and take our first caller. Says what Hurricane Helene 500-mile path of destruction looked like. Hurricane Helene laid waste to the southeastern United States. Its sheer wind force and deadly floods left behind a path of destruction stretching over 500 miles from Florida to the southern Appalachians. In just 48 hours, vast swaths of the region became unrecognizable. The storm has caused at least, in fact, now it's over 200, approaching 300, and some say, ladies and gentlemen, up in North Carolina area in particular, that they're finding bodies in trees, bodies in mudslides, et cetera, et cetera. They're projecting that there will be thousands of those that lost their lives in this past hurricane. The officials say that the toll can death toll can rise. Communities, this article reads, were cut off from and stranded as floodwaters washed away roads and hundreds of buildings, homes and vehicles, communication infrastructure in shreds. Millions of people have lost power, access to water across the at least six states. Helene's path of destruction started in Florida's Gulf Coast, traveled up to the Big Bend. The region's swath is 15 foot of storm surge, according to preliminary reports from National Weather Forecast. It starts in Cedar Key on the West Coast, and this article goes in depth as far as the geographical area, the path that the storm took, and the devastation that was left behind. And those that are in the left behind area, ladies and gentlemen, in the devastation, the storm that went through Helene, they're still trying to survive. Multitudes of them are hopeless. Multitudes of them are looking at it that everything is lost. But, ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you today to understand that some of the disciples faced some of the same thing in the day and the life of the Lord Jesus. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41, I'll not take time at this juncture to read it, but a storm came. Jesus' disciples were on the boat. The problem of the storm, we see the place that it was taking place in the peril. The Bible says the wind was blowing, the waves were beating, the water was brimming into the boat. They thought they were going to die. And they awakened Jesus, who was asleep in the bow of the boat. And when they awakened Jesus in the bow of the boat, they said, Lord, aren't you concerned that we're going to die? The Lord Jesus stood on the bow of the ship, looked out over the wind and the waves, and simply spoke, peace, be still. The winds and the waves obeyed him. So, ladies and gentlemen, listen. Regardless of where you are, regardless of what is taking place, regardless of what happens tomorrow, the next day, and this oncoming storm, we've got to remember that Jesus is in the boat with us. He's never left us. We're never alone. He is closer to us than our next breath. So let me just simply say that. In fact, I'm looking at a headline from Franklin Graham, and I'll read the article in closing today. But it says, pray and vote, but put your hope in God. We can do that today. We can pray and we can vote and plan to vote. We're going to talk about the devastation that the election is will see as a result of the hurricanes, ladies and gentlemen. But the headline of Franklin Graham, pray and vote, this is the key, but put your trust in God. I believe I have Bob on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, Pastor, what do you think about these absurd conspiracy people who say that some of these storms are man-made?
Bob, I really believe that it is not necessarily conspiracy theorists that are saying that. I believe that it's highly probable. For example, I'm looking at a headline, How to Steer Hurricanes, Flood Homes, and Steal Lithium, dated October the 1st, 2024. This article reads in part, We have had the technology to create and control and steer hurricanes for decades. Project Cirrus is the first official attempt to modify a hurricane. It was run by the General Electric Company with the purpose with the support of the U.S. military. The official theory was that by changing the temperature outside the eye wall of the hurricane, which they did by seeding the clouds with various compounds such as silver iodide, a decrease in strong winds will result. On October the 13th, 1947, Project Cirrus targeted a hurricane headed out to sea. Approximately 180 pounds of dry ice was dropped into the clouds. The crew then reported a pronounced modification in the cloud deck, and the hurricane abruptly changed directions and made landfall near Savannah, Georgia. The public blamed the government. Further in the article, in 1997, U.S. Defense Secretary William Cohen admitted, We have the technology to control the weather. including earthquakes and volcanoes. The U.S. government has placed gag orders on employees of the National Weather Service. October 2012, after Hurricane Sandy weakened to a tropical storm, microwave image shows a thick red beam immediately followed by Sandy growing into a Category 1 hurricane and taking an unexpected left turn into New Jersey. This article goes on and on and on with documentary background and studies that's been made and what the government has been doing since 1947 on trying to, quote, control the climate. This is the reason I believe personally, Bob, they've come up with the term of climate change. I believe that our government has some of the technology and trial and error as it may be, I'm sure, because God controls the weather. But trial and error as it may be, I believe that the government has a hand in it. And the question that multitudes are asking today, some may be conspiratorial, others may be factually based. But the bottom line is, Bob, I believe there's an element of truth to what the Marxist media and some are calling conspiracy theories. I believe that the government's hand is in it. I believe there's potentiality that with this it has taken place with Helene across the swath in the southern states. I believe there's a purpose behind it. Some saying it's because in some of the mountains in North Carolina and Tennessee that has lithium, that some lithium companies have been trying to buy the property. They've refused to do so. This may be the possibility, as one major writer has some major pertinent points to say about that. So I don't know. Only God knows the factual details, and I believe that eventually some of these details will leak out. But I believe there's an element of truth in it. What say you?
Well, just between me and you and your audience, I find it pretty hard to believe that we could do anything to change the weather. I'm open to, you know, proof, but I really don't believe it.
Well, I had not until recently, to be honest with you and our audience. I had not. I'd cast it off as just kind of, no, that can't be done. But when you look at the big picture, and I've got about five major articles with dozens and dozens of pages documenting date, time, place, people, organizations, the government, et cetera, and those that had been done, those that had been behind it. So I think that there's an element of truth, and just as with many things that are true today, there can be error that can be added, and some, how would you say, some input or some others that will come in and modify that truth. But I believe there's an element of truth, a fragment of truth that's in the whole picture, and as some would call it, the scheme to try to put out disinformation or misinformation. But I believe we need to keep our eyes open and understand that Satan and demonic forces are at work, and they work through human instrumentality. And I don't, at this point, Bob, frankly, I don't put anything past the potentiality, the possibility of our government doing things to we the people that would decimate and destroy our nation. I don't put anything past them. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I don't put anything past them. I've lived long enough, and I'm still less than 100 years old. I've lived long enough to recognize that anything is possible with the government if they want to have the control. One of my sons said, you've heard him many times on the radio broadcast, Greg said, Dad, I believe the Democrats would be willing to burn America down if they could rule over the ashes. And I believe that's a pretty pertinent statement, and I believe it stands to be proven otherwise based on what we're seeing and hearing today. But, Bob, the whole thing is, with the hurricane that's just passed, with the hurricane that's coming before us, and they tell us, and I say they, it's the weather people, tell us that on the heels of this one, Milton, that's coming on board, that we can expect a third one falling in the same path. Now, I want to ask you, is that the hand of God? I think it is. Is it possible that government's interfering with that? I think it's possible. Is it possible that the government has a motive and a modus operandi in what they're doing? I think it's probable, not just possible. So we need to pray and ask God to intervene. And right now, Bob, my prayer is that we will recognize this storm is dangerous and stay safe. I'm thankful, for the most part, we see that it's going to miss the major focus of the eye of the storm. I believe at this juncture, the latest news I've heard, it will miss the Jacksonville area. We'll still have wind and rain and the potentiality of down trees and some isolated flooding. But I'm thankful that it's missed us. But will that be the thing in the future? What does the future hold? Only God knows. But listen, we find in the eschatological text, Matthew 24 and 25, Luke chapter 21, Mark chapter 13, that God tells us that these things will take place in the last days. In fact, the scripture is very, very clear in the text that will take place. It says, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and diseases, and fearful sights, and great signs shall be from heaven. And I believe, Bob, this is one of the things we're seeing that I call it here in this text, frightful sights. That's found in Luke's Gospel, the 21st chapter, the 11th verse and following. So I believe the hand of God's at work. I believe as Christians we need to pray, seek God's face, confess our sins, turn from our wicked ways, and ask God to heal our lands. So, Bob, stay safe, stay dry, and stay out of the storm as it's approaching. Thank you for your call. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning. I believe there's something wrong with our connection. Can you hang up and call right back and see if that will get it cleared up for us?
Yes, sir.
I believe we have a little problem. Don't know if it's from the storm. Don't know if it's just the demons of the technology, as I call it. But, ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about today is a very serious subject. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We're talking about facing the storm. We've just gone through a major devastating storm. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we need to recognize, as we found in the text a moment ago in the Gospel of Mark, verse 35 and following, I believe we need to recognize there's a major, major, major need for us to understand that Jesus Christ is on the boat in the midst of the storm with us. We're never alone. He is closer to us than our next breath. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're having some serious problems with the transmission and our technology. Let me ask you to hang in there. Don't leave. We'll be right back right after we clear up this technology problem. Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for the technology difficulty. I call it demons in technology, especially if it is for God's purpose and God's plan. You'll find that taking place. But thank you for hanging in there. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I believe Kenneth is back with us. Kenneth, go over with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Yes, I'm glad. Everything is all right. Dr. Youngblood, did you see about Kamala Harris on that interview? I think it was CBS.
I don't know if I saw that one or not. Tell me about it.
Oh, man, she was stumbling like I don't know what.
She was stumbling. She didn't have a regular word salad or what?
That's it. That's it. You are dead on point. No, she did not. But I be telling people, you know, like the Word of God say, don't put your trust in no man. But I know that Trump can run this country like he did before very well. If she get in there, we are doomed. And I think that the Lord is trying to give us a wake-up call, should I say it like that.
Brother, I believe you're exactly right. Let me redeem the time by asking this question for you. We've got other callers on the line, and we're approaching our top of the hour news break. Let me ask you a question, Kenneth. As we see what is taking place with the devastation that's just gone before us with the previous hurricane and the hurricane coming up, my question is, and I've asked this to multitudes of people, how is this going to affect the election? Is it possible, and Bob talked about it a moment ago, is it possible we've had governmental interference with our weather that in turn will cause a decimation of those opportunities to go out and vote? We've got Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, and Tennessee, that many of those will not have a place to vote. No such thing as a voting precinct. No such thing as a voting drop box. No such thing as a mail-in ballot if you don't have mail because of the devastation of the roads and the bridges and the highways. How, in your opinion, is this going to affect the election?
It's going to affect it big time. It really is. I believe that. But like I said, I think God is giving us a judgment because he always with his prophets. They warn you and you don't listen, you feel dealing.
I believe you're exactly right. When you study carefully, Luke chapter 21 in particular, and you find what God says is taking place in that text, it understand the danger of where we are today. Because the scripture says in the 10th verse, 21st chapter of Luke, then said unto them, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, famines and pestilences, that's diseases, and fearful signs and great signs shall there be from heaven. And I believe we're watching that. And then in that 26th verse, men's hearts shall fail them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And I believe that's what we're seeing today. And I believe it is just fulfillment of God's word that we're in the last of the last days. But we need to say to our listeners today, and all of us need to recognize that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. We can't hope in man, for man will fail us. We need to place our hope and trust in God, and yet at the same time be prepared with what we're faced with in this hurricane season, and then with the election. And by the way, Kenneth, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I say this to you and to our listening audience. The October issue of Decision Magazine, Franklin Graham and the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association has done a good job. It's called the 2024 Election Guide, October 2024 edition, and it spells out the two parties and the background of each of those that are running for office, and from a Christian perspective, analyzing, weighing, and not saying how to vote, but giving the Christians an opportunity to see what is true and what is false and make a decision. So, Kenneth, keep praying, keep looking up. Listen, stay safe, stay out of the storm that's rapidly approaching us. Thank you for your call.
Okay.
I believe we have another call on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yeah, Dr. Youngblood, in regards to your first callers, maybe doubting something about man being able to interfere or do something, we got biblical proof, and I believe you call the Bible the truth book. What about the Tower of Babel? God looked down and said, if we don't go down and do something, men can do whatever they want to. And he confounded the nations then and sent them in different places. And then you just alluded to the thing just twice now already. God is trying to tell us in his word there where you referenced it, look up, these things are happening. So he's given us even the warning that it's going to happen to us in these last days. Need people, as God's people, to open our eyes and our heart and our understanding that God is in control, but he tells us the things when they go awry, to don't be so dismayed about that, because I'm telling you what's going to happen. Be prepared, because I'm looking up coming soon.
Brother, you're exactly right. He's given us history pre-written. All we need to do is open the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. And these things that we see happening today that bring fear in the hearts of man, according to Luke 21, verse 26, those things he's already told us. And 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us that perilous times shall come in the last days. That means dark, devastating, destructive days. And that's where we are today. And so the key to it is, brother, and I believe that you see that, you've articulated that, we need to place our faith and trust in God, not in man, and at the same time recognize God's word is true, shall be fulfilled just as he has said that it would take place. So the bottom line is we need to keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. So thank you so much for your amen. I'm ready.
Me too.
Thank you so much.
I'm all, even thank before you for you your call.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine.